This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along for this afternoon's WPGM Community Forum. We're talking today with Nate McCollum. He is the executive director of the PCC Corner of Hope, located in downtown Shamokin. We've spoken with the folks there before, and Nate McCollum is new on board as executive director. So he's going to give us a little bit about himself, his work here, and just about the center in general and what they do. Welcome to the program, Nate.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate it. And how long have you been on board as executive director?
Just started in January. It was actually late January, so we hit the ground running.
Okay, just enough time to get your thoughts together and be able to talk about the place, right?
I certainly hope so.
Okay.
Certainly trying every day.
We'll get there's a lot to learn, I guess. I mean, just since the interviews I started doing there over the past, I guess, what, 2010 was when they opened?
Yes.
So, a lot of things have been added. Let's the nutshell version, if you would. What is it? What is the Corner of Hope?
So we are still a pregnancy care center and a family resource center. And I think the easiest way to describe us is that we are a support system for people that lack resources or support, skills to be able to jump into the next chapter of lives, particular to having children, starting families, and various challenges that they might be facing in their life.
And that's a good nutshell version, but it goes so far beyond that because I mean, obviously, you ask somebody from outside, they're going to say that's that place that tries to stop abortions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that? To somebody when somebody identifies you as such, is that accurate? Not accurate?
I'm really grateful for that question because one of the things that I've seen, and you know well, that where politicians make their money is in the way that they phrase things. And it used to be before the world of Cronkite that it was primarily politicians that would do that. But now our mainstream media plays the same game where they like to spin phrasing. And one of the things that I'm seeing that I think is feeding into what you just mentioned is calling pregnancy care centers, quote unquote, anti-abortion counseling centers. And I think that the goal in phrasing it that way is to try to paint this picture that we're setting traps. That we're trying to deceive or kind of manipulate people into the center so that we can get them to bend to our will. But it turns out that most, if not all, pregnancy care centers like ours are faith-based. And, you know, our faith in Christ doesn't jive well with deception. In fact, our enemy is called the deceiver in Scripture. And so we don't operate that way, and we will never operate that way. We don't manipulate, deceive, or otherwise shame and guilt young ladies in any way, shape, or form. We are a resource center. We offer support. We offer parenting classes. We offer strollers, diapers, car seats, pack and plays, toys, formula, everything that you can imagine that would be a reason that somebody would say, you know, I don't have the resources to have this child, or I don't have the skills to have this child. We try to stand in the gap for them as Christ would have us do.
And you folks have spoken with those people personally. I think sometimes the better reporting on a place like this would be from, you know, talking to people who have been there and been helped, because that's they would assume say, no, they weren't tricking me at all.
Right. And if you go to our Facebook page and you read some of the comments and the testimonies, they're all positive. Nobody has ever mentioned feeling deceived or manipulated. Really, all we do is we love them and we treat them with respect and dignity, and we try to sow into their lives.
Is that common to any of these? You know, is that unique to Shamokin Center, or is this something that really you feel like they all are striving toward?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because I really just want to kind of stand here and say on behalf of all pregnancy care centers, crisis pregnancy resource centers, especially all of us that are faith-based, and I think most of us are, that's not what we do. It doesn't align with our values as Christians to deceive people or to use shame and guilt as some tool to try to trick them into our worldview. That's not it. We actually do things the way Jesus teaches us to do them, which is through love and through caring.
Let's talk a bit about your background and how you came into this position. I mean, this is I can't imagine being on the board that has to hire the person, because there's probably some very specific things they're looking for.
There are, and I didn't think it was me. Just a little bit about myself. I was raised in Elmira, New York. It's a couple hours north of us here in the southern tier of upstate New York. After I finished high school, I served in the United States Navy. I fought in Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom, and came home a war veteran. And not long after that, I sensed a call to ministry, and the Lord called me into the pastorate. And I've served as a pastor in Western New York for years leading up to what has become this recent season of my life, where I had my brother-in-law reach out to me and tell me about this job with the Corner of Hope. And he knows that my wife and I are passionately for life, and we always have been. And I, when he read the job description to me, I kind of gave him one of those "what does that have to do with me" speeches, because I don't feel called out of the ministry as a pastor. And I think his challenge was something to the effect of, you know, what makes you think that this wouldn't be a ministry? And of course, I agree with him. But as I would with anything, I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord really nudging me in that direction to explore this, and sat down with the board, and it really, it's pretty incredible how well I fit with what they were looking for and how well they fit with what I was looking for. And so it's one of those truly match made in heaven situations for me, and I'm really excited about the mission and vision of Corner of Hope in Shamokin.
Now, are you replacing a former executive director, or, I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll have a position, it kind of morphs and changes with the new person. Is this a direct transfer of power, so to speak?
Well, our last director left, I believe, last March, moved back home to Vermont. She did an excellent job. Her name was Abby, and a lot of people know Abby. Really, really did a great job, and left on great terms, left us in good shape, did a great job with the transition. And so we're really honored to have had her, and I'm honored to be stepping in behind her. But yes, I'm taking over for Abby.
And before Abby was Margie Conrad.
Yes, we had Margie, and Margie is still around.
She's still helping out.
She's still a volunteer, and I enjoy most Fridays. I sit down with her and I pick her brain, and she's very wise, and she's a great resource.
She's a great lady. I can't tell you how many times we've talked to her on the program, but and Abby too, I think once in the interim there. But yep. Now let's talk a bit about what the center does offer. You're saying we're not deceiving people. We're helping them. In what ways are you helping them? And in what ways has that grown? Kind of give me a bit of an overview of all that is available.
Yeah, so the overview, first of all, each year we pick a theme, kind of what is our challenge this year? And as I prayed about that, we came up with Dare to Hope Again in Christ. And what we're recognizing is that a lot of the clients that we see have been in patterns in their life where they have hoped at times, but they were let down. And they get to a point where they become almost callous to the idea of hope and almost stiff arm the idea of allowing hope to seep into their heart. And so our goal is to break through that and to dare them to hope again, because we're going to have their back. And the ways that we have their back practically, we have a 24-hour hotline. The number is listed on our website and our Facebook page and on a lot of the material that we put out, bulletins and such. We do pregnancy tests and counseling. We do ultrasounds. We have a medical center. We do pregnancy and birth classes. We do parenting and co-parenting classes. We offer, of course, material assistance, which is clothing, furniture, diapers, walkers, pack-and-plays, strollers, wipes, formula, everything that you can imagine that a parent would need. We offer adoption counseling and referrals. We refer to doctors and community services. We do parenting skills training, post-abortion counseling. We have a practical fatherhood program, so we're for the men too. And we offer relationship counseling, and particularly we offer counseling for sexual integrity. And we also have Bible studies. And it turns out now that they have a pastor as an executive director, we're offering the option to them to sit down and have biblical coaching and counseling.
And that has grown over the years, right? I mean, I can't even remember anymore because we're talking, 14 years ago?
Right.
But, how much is added? Is that something you're always kind of, gauging the needs and seeing what else is out there that we need to address?
That's precisely what it is. We ask our clients, how is it that we can help you better? And we often engage with them to find out what is it, and we see where there's need. One of the things that is lacking in the Shamokin area is there's not a lot of options for transportation if you don't have a car. So we're looking at ways that we might mitigate that. But yes, we're always expanding based on what we see our clients need so that we can best meet their needs. Because, needs change. And the way that those needs are met changes, particularly in the United States right now, where in the past it might have been pretty exclusively food that people would need. Well, that's not as big of a need anymore because of our programs that offer SNAP and WIC. And so, we do offer food in the event that that is necessary, but we've focused in more on, strollers and clothing and pack and plays and car seats and, things that they wouldn't get from the sustenance programs.
I know a couple of times when I interviewed Margie, I would take a box of diapers, which the older diapers for older kids, because that always seemed to be the big need. Is that still the case, or have those needs as to what you need donated differ?
Yeah, based on the nature of diapers and how they work, we could probably never have too many of them.
Okay.
But we are looking for creative ways to be really disseminating them. We have an event coming up that is called Heritage Days in Shamokin, and we're going to try to get diapers to young parents that need them. And yes, but we're always in need of diapers.
Okay. Always open to just somebody wants to donate, they can stop on by.
They can swing right on by 150 South Market Street in Shamokin. And we have a little doorbell. Now, we do take donations during business hours, which it's going to be between 10 and 3 every day of the week, because we, like most places, had issues with large pieces of furniture being dropped and things that we didn't have a way to take. And so we just take the donations now while we're there. Okay. So that we can make sure that they work.
And you work with organizations, churches as well to probably get awareness in one place, and then a lot of people might give from that location. Is that kind of the case?
We do. Obviously, we don't limit in any way the way that people can partner with us, but we have ambassadors. Usually, we try to have one person in each church in the community that kind of is a voice for us and can relay a lot of what's happening, and we will lean on those ambassadors. We lean on our friendships with local pastors and leaders, and in every way, we're trying to make it easy, if you would, for people to help and to be a part of what we're doing.
Now, the state recently announced some changes in funding for places like this. Is that affecting Shamokin PCC, or is that something you were not taking part in anyway?
You mentioned Margie. One of the things I really respect about Margie is that in the very beginning, she said, we don't want to depend on the state for funding. And so she avoided public dollars. And so we personally at PCC Corner of Hope have not relied on public funding. That doesn't mean that what's happening in Harrisburg isn't wrong. What's just happened recently is that a large sum of public dollars that would go to one particular not-for-profit that would then disseminate those funds among pregnancy care centers was that was cut off. And but the problem is later legislation just recently went through that would make it possible now for public more and more public dollars to go to Planned Parenthood. And so you see this dynamic where public funding is making it's being made unavailable to care centers, and it's being made more available to abortion centers. And there's a very real intentional thing happening there. And one of the things I wanted to take the opportunity to mention is that there is, it's suspected that because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the precedent in the Supreme Court recently, a lot of people think that the war for life is somehow over, but it's just beginning. And it's really reaching a boiling point here in Pennsylvania. And now more than ever, for those of us that are for life, we need to rally together and we need to support one another. And we need to be aware of what's happening in Harrisburg and make sure that our legislators are aware of how we feel about this issue. And we need to hold them accountable based on how we feel about it. This is not the time for us to be asleep at the wheel on this issue.
It seems like we took one big issue, and then now it's thousands of little ones across the country, different states, different aspects of the issue. Like you said, it's kind of a whole new ball game just since two years ago.
Right.
Now, what would you say are some of the biggest needs that the PCC Corner of Hope has right now? We of course mentioned diapers, but are there other needs? I mean, even as far as volunteer work, people to help out, anything like that, that you can kind of put a plug in for?
Yeah, there's four things that we really ask for, and genuinely, they're all ongoing needs that really are going to continue to be needs for us to continue to fight the way that we are. You mentioned volunteers. We absolutely need volunteers. We train our volunteers. We do a background check, and that's, you know, that the only real requirement. We sit down and have an interview, make sure that it's, you know, somebody that would really be passionate about this, and then we train them. And so you don't have to have some whatever your perception of what skills you would need to have. We offer all that stuff. We're always looking for ambassadors, and this year in particular, we've noticed a little bit of a downturn in the amount of ambassadors. That's just somebody that represents us to your church or your business. And so we're always looking for ambassadors to be able to help us to make announcements to the church and update their church or their organization on what's happening, not only at the center, but what's happening in Harrisburg and how it impacts our mission to bring resources and support to young families. And so the material donations is the third way that people can support us. Obviously, we're looking for diapers and wipes, children's clothing, mom's clothing. We're looking for pack and plays and cribs and strollers, car seats. Of course, obviously, we would like for things to be in working order. Particularly with cribs, they have to be somewhat recent to be able to pass guidelines of the state. But we need those things, and we're always looking for those things. And then finally, we always need monetary support. Those monetary donations go a long way in making it possible for us to have the flexibility to add services. Just recently, we opened the medical center. As you can imagine, that's not cheap. We try to have skilled staff. We have a nurse. And so to be able to keep those resources going, of course, we are always in need of monetary donations. And no contribution really is too small. And we have ways on our Facebook page and website that you can give.
And also, if they'd just like to learn more about, for instance, being an ambassador, you'd be the one to talk to?
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. At any time, they can call us, 570-648-2600. And we have people all day from 9 a.m. to probably 4 p.m. ready to answer the phone.
These are various ways folks can help out, whether it be actually volunteering there or providing items, as you've heard. Again, go to the website to learn all the details, and that is cohpcc.org.
Yes.
So Center of Hope, PCC.org, cohpcc.org. And Nate McCollum, the executive director of the Corner of Hope, has been our guest on the program today. Further thoughts before we go?
I think that's really, you know, the bulk of it. Again, I would say what we have to understand is that there are so many people in our world right now that are feeling hopeless, and you don't have to be poor. You don't have to be in any particular circumstance that you might assign to that. There is a lot of hopelessness, but we know Jesus Christ offers hope, and that's our goal. Our goal is to dare our clients and our community to hope again, and we want to be there to have their back, and we appreciate any support that is given to us to continue in that mission.
Thanks for being with us on the program today, Nate, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in to this afternoon's WPGM Community Forum. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.